heck?
Welcome to the final Hedge Knight podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
Again, Hedge Knight part four.
An ice cold Diet Coke for me. An ice cold Baja Blast for you.
Could it be any other way?
Of the Hedge Knight.
We can finally talk about spoilers. What did you think?
There were so many twists and turns that I wasn't expecting, I guess. I don't know.
In the battle or just in general or what happened?
Well, I did not expect for the dragon that was going to die to be our boy.
In the story or just in general? Like in this story or just in general?
I didn't think that in this story, I didn't see that twist coming with Baylor.
When I first heard the prophecy too, my first intuition was that it would be something that affected the current story. Like the current timeline of Asseloff that we're waiting for right now.
But instead, it was this immediate gratification thing.
Like
it was
instant gratification,
thing.
Yeah. Pretty much,
but in the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Because Dunk was thinking to himself, he's like, wow, what a relief that nobody had to die in this battle. But, I mean, it took 3 seconds. Dazed and confused, Dunk felt a huge sense of relief. And then Prince Baylor wanders in, tells him that the realm could use good men like Dunk. Against the bleak gray sky swayed a tall, tall prince in black armor with only half a skull.
Do you have...
He died.
It close to, in your book right now, do you have it highlighted, the actual reaction when the Pate was taking his helm off? I cringed so much on the reread of that. First read through, I'm like, Pate's doing his job.
He's doing what he can.
He stepped in and he's now a part of the crew, unofficially, but now officially. And then... Yeah.
Here it comes. Pate lifted the battered helm away. Gods be good. Oh, gods, oh, gods, oh, gods, preserve. Dunk saw something red and
preserves.
Wet fall
jelly
out of the helm. Someone was screaming high and terrible. Against the bleak gray sky swayed a tall, tall prince in black armor with only half a skull. He could see the red blood and pale bone beneath and something else, something blue, gray, and pulpy. A queer, troubled look passed over Baylor Breakspear's face like a cloud passing before a sun. He had raised his hand and touched the back of his head with 2 fingers, oh so lightly, and then he fell. I was not expecting this to come. Okay.
Composure till the end, though, for Baylor.
Of course.
A cloud passing in front of a sun? Fine. That happens all the time. For that to be his final reaction to a mortal blow? Come on.
He's a prince. He's not going to fall on the field.
There's lots of princes, though, but not all of them are Baylor Breakspear.
Exactly, exactly.
Not all of them.
And not all of them have come to the rescue of...
Hannah's putting orange seasoning into her Diet Coke right now. This is about to be a real one.
True orange into my Diet Coke can.
Okay.
Look it up. From the beginning to the end of this whole story, I feel like Baylor's been our one line of anything real happening. Without him, Dunk would not even be in the tournament at all. And then the fact that he shows up to fight alongside Dunk so graciously, without even any sort of hesitation, and he says to him, give me a second to look it up, but he essentially says to him, you were doing what a true knight, or does he say this to his brother?
He doesn't just say it to him. He says it to his brother.
Yeah, he says it to his brother.
To everyone as well that can hear.
He says, and I'll find it in a little bit, but basically says, this guy is the real deal. He's a true knight, and so I'm going to back him up. He said, this man protected the weak, as every true knight must, replied Prince Baylor. Let the gods determine if he was right or wrong. And so... that was something that I was not expecting. The letdown of Sir Stefan.
Oh my God.
I was
to start
pissed.
Out the chapter, not the chapter, this part. What did you think?
Betrayed, rat behavior, pissed. I don't know why we trusted him. I was so hype on him last episode.
I was trying not to spoil you so much.
Like,
you were like, it's good. He's going to go get our friends.
He's going to do it. He's going to look out for Dunk. He's going to be the one. Like, everyone's on Dunk's side.
You were saying he's jumping on the momentum of something happening.
Yeah.
And that made sense because it did seem from the earlier part of the story that that's kind of what he was looking for, the spirit of it. But it looks like he was actually searching for so much more than action. Opportunity
sure.
and action,
for
but
sure.
mostly opportunity.
Listen, understandably. I mean, no disrespect to Dunk,
sure.
but what is Dunk's cause going to do for a man who's trying to climb the ranks? Chaos is a ladder, so let's take the opportunity when it comes to become Lord, he says. He says, I'm going to become a Lord.
What's sad is that would have been a fast track. With people fighting in a situation like that, even if the king's not there, even if every who's who isn't there, if there is noble blood spilled, if the Laughing Storm is in the fight and there's say Baylor is still on Dunk's side in this situation, you're gonna come out of it with something.
Yes, yeah.
That's what he banked on,
and I feel like that's a decent gamble. you know?
Yeah,
you
but for the wrong reasons.
It. For sure, for the wrong reasons. You hate to see it. And especially in this scenario, after I was so hyped on him, like I said, rat behavior.
Complete.
We do not like
No offense to rats.
No offense to rats, but
yeah,
you know.
There's no other animal we can put in place exactly. there right now.
So that really, to have those two things happen so quickly, I was so upset and so annoyed. And then we have this really high momentum moment of Donk yelling, "Are there no true knights among you?" He's out there just yelling. We watched A Knight's Tale. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Watching A Knight's Tale. What a good preparation for this.
That was the buildup for this last podcast. It was like, we have to watch The Knight's Tale before recording.
You've been telling me to do that. And I'm so glad we watched it before this episode in particular, because I'd never seen it before. I loved the movie. And I felt like it brought so much color and life to these moments from the book.
What do you mean?
That I just, the thought of Donk standing in front of the crowd yelling at everybody, "Is there no true knights among you?" after watching a lot of
the spirit of
yelling
at Jeffrey Chaucer within him.
Yeah, you know, it was just like a fun thing to have in my head while reading the last half of this chapter, the last half of the story, because it added a little more humor and color to the desperation that I know Donk was feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
It paid off.
Can I read it?
Yes, please.
Here we go. "My lords," he called to them, "do none of you remember Sir Arlen of Pennytree? I was his squire. We served many of you, ate at your tables, and slept in your halls." He saw Manfred Dondarrion seated in the highest tier. "Sir Arlen took a wound in your lord father's service." The knight said something to the lady beside him, paying no heed. Donk was forced to move on. "Lord Lannister." "Sir Arlen unhorsed you once in a tourney." The great lion examined his gloved hands studiedly, refusing to raise his eyes. "He was a good man, and he taught me how to be a knight. Not only sword and lance, but honor. A knight defends the innocent," he said. "That's all I need. I need one more knight to fight beside me. One. That's all. Lord Karen? Lord Swan?" Lord Swan laughed softly as Lord Karen whispered in his ear. Donk reined up before Sir Otho Bracken, lowering his voice. "Sir Otho, I'll know you for a great champion. Join us, I beg you. In the names of the old gods and the new, my cause is just." "That may be," said the brute of Bracken, who had at least the grace to reply. "But it is your cause, not mine. I know you not, boy." Heartsick, Donk wheeled thunder and raced back and forth before the tears of pale, cold men. Despair made him shout, "Are there no true knights among you?" Only silence answered. Across the field, Prince Arion laughed. "The dragon is not mocked," he called out. What a... Then came a voice. "I will take Sir Duncan's side." A black stallion emerged from out of the river mists, a black knight on his back. Donk saw the dragon shield and the red enamel crest upon his helm with its three roaring heads. "The young prince. Gods be good. Is it truly him? Lord Ashford made the same mistake. Prince Valar?" "No." The black knight lifted his visor of his helm. Martin Lawrence came out. No, it wasn't him. "I did not think to enter the list at Ashford, my lord. So I brought no armor. My son was good enough to lend me his." Prince Balor smiled almost sadly.
The hand of the king. The heir to the Iron Throne.
The only one with good sense about him.
He's our guy to the rescue again. I should have seen it coming. He's been to our rescue this whole time.
Yeah.
We couldn't have entered the tournament without him.
But it didn't seem likely at all.
Because who would ever think that a guy like this, especially after this, first of all, Donk calling everybody out by name.
Yeah.
L-O-L.
Too much.
To their face. He gets down to Sir Orlan or whatever. He's like, pss, 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 pss. He's like whispering in his ear. "I know about you." You know? That was so intense. And everyone's kind of whispering behind his back. Hilarious.
Yeah, but no one wants to step up in that moment. Because you're not only are you being called out in front of everyone, but if you do take the challenge, you have to go fight people to the death. And some of them, three of them are Kingsguard. The other two are Targaryens,
exactly.
Et cetera.
It's not like you're asking somebody to come play a game of...
Or donate money.
Pickleball. Yeah, or donate money. Yeah. This is a life or death situation. You don't even necessarily understand how serious it is until they start to spell it out. And it's like, either we kill everyone, they kill all of us, or the two main guys die.
They're using tipped lances.
Yeah. This is no joke. And people do end up dying. And so who wants to, for honor, do you really think the gods decide? You know? Please. So,
is you asking me? Maybe. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, for a different podcast. Maybe. But you know who does stand up because he's the one and the man of the hour? Who was so young and who was going to be such a great king?
I thought you were about to say Raymond Fosaway.
No.
Okay.
It was amazing. I was so excited.
It was good.
I was so excited that
happened.
How about
his brains falling out, though?
I know. It's really sad.
Yeah.
I had kind of hoped, I guess, in the back of my mind that he would continue to be somebody. You know, maybe Dunk would get out of the situation somehow. And then he would, Prince Baylor would be somebody that he could kind of look to in a crowd. And that could be his...
And the egg could, too.
Yeah, exactly. And not necessarily replace the old man who taught him everything, but could be another mentor figure down the road. I was kind of hoping that maybe that could be the case, you know?
Me too.
But instead, he stepped up and he...
Stepped out.
For some reason...
My car, took a mace to the back of his head too hard, a little too hard.
Yikes.
And he ended up being, I wouldn't say... decent in the end because he's the one who struck the killing blow and the guy that we're mourning right now. But the way that he handled that final conversation with Dunk, I think made him feel more like the father of Egg than any other moment so far. He was definitely one of the least offensive up until that point.
He was. I didn't like that one moment that he came down on Dunk really harsh.
Which one?
When Dunk was wondering what maybe my foot was spared or something so I can serve the realm.
And oh, yeah.
Mikar was like, are you serious? There's a million hedge knights and they all have feet.
That's a good point.
So,
yeah.
Which is a good point. But you see that little flash of anger. Of course.
Yeah.
He killed his brother and he didn't even know. He's like, I don't even remember dealing the blow. I can't even pinpoint an exact moment, but it had to have been me. And I felt like it was really kind of him to share in that sympathy between the two of them because he's saying, you're going to live with this forever. And people are always going to talk about the hedge knight that killed somebody who could have done a better job.
Who would have been the best prince or the best king since Aegon the First.
Right. And we'll never know because he's gone.
Right.
And he says, you know, whispers are always going to follow me for the same exact reasons. And so I thought that that was an extra hand of grace that he gave.
Yeah.
Dunk.
Surprising that after such a loss within their family, being surrounded about the trial of Dunk himself, that Dunk would be in such an intimate conversation with someone who had just suffered that amount of loss, which made me sort of know that everything was going to be okay, that mm-hmm. he was in that position to be talking with Mikar at all mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But and not only talking to him at all, but Mikar approached him on Dunk's own territory.
Yeah.
He didn't summon him anywhere. He just kind of appeared to him.
So that means the impression that he and the whole trial left on the realm at that point and wherever the whispers spider off from there is that it was a really solid, mm-hmm. Powerful impression. Mm-hmm. So with this being the end of book one, it's like, where do we go from here?
Right.
Obviously, we know because the way that the story trailed off and... with Egg becoming his squire on his own terms.
Going to Dorne.
At that point, just there was so much momentum at the end of the story.
Yes.
Felt like the end of a full book. I know it was a full book, but in the context of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, it's basically part one of three. But it has the momentum of being a much longer book with a lot more action. He managed to condense so much into such a small 150 or so pages. Maybe it's 200. And, more impressively than that, the amount of meaning, less than just the size of how many words there are, but how much it matters to what is happening. I guess you have to sacrifice Baylor Breakspear in order to make us feel that way.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much make
your point.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, especially when you're thinking about this as three separate stories. I mean, they're going to flow into each other, but...
Will they?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
So where do you think it goes from here? We can talk more about what we read, but I'm curious.
I guess we're going to Dorne. Is that why everybody likes Dorne
so much?
Why do you
think he's going to Dorne for?
Why do you think he's going to Dorne?
Because of the Dornish wine, of course.
It's fun
and because
there.
They don't mistreat little girls there.
Right, because the weather is warm. It feels nice.
Yeah, because they have hot peppers.
He wants to show Egg the world, you know? That's all he's trying to do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's plenty of world.
Right. We'll see what other girlies he can find out there. Apparently, there's some good puppet shows over there.
I hear there's great puppet shows in Dorne.
Yeah. So I think we'll see Dunk's use of protect girls is not going to stop while he brings Egg alongside him. I thought that Dunk was so bold to say to Makar, sure.
Oh, I'll, yeah, that part.
I'll
yeah.
be, he can be my squire, but I'm not going back to the castle with you. And Makar's like so taken aback. He's like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, come to Summer Hall. You'll be one of our, it's what Dunk talked about in the whole start of the story.
That's except what he wanted.
It's not just with any old noble lord. It's with, I mean, now with Baelor out of the way, it's with the next king to be. And you're in his house. And probably at this point, his favorite son. His, like, sworn sword, basically. Basically what you've been doing. It's pretty much the highest honor you could hope to achieve after the threat of death was
all
just being thrust upon you.
All he wanted to do was win one battle so he could get that.
And he got it.
And he got it.
You know what he said? He said, we're going to do it on my terms. He said, I don't think we should do it like that. And then Makar challenges him and he says, what about your other two sons? Look at how they turned out. And I loved, and this is another reason why I gained a lot of respect for that guy who's going to eventually become king. Rather than argue, rather than agree puissantly, he just walks away wordlessly. And the next morning, Egg shows up the same way that he showed up outside of the tourney at Ashford, just like, I'm ready to go.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Exciting that Egg has his father's blessing.
Yeah.
They're gonna
or
go
he ran
all
away
the way.
Again.
Or he
we
ran away again.
That.
Yeah, that's so true. I guess I shouldn't make assumptions.
The next story starts out, they're still on the run.
Yeah. So the gang is back together. Like you said, we could talk more about, but I hope like Pate comes with them a little bit inside of me.
So now you're definitely coming off the Night's Tale. A Night's
yeah,
Tale.
Yeah, because
their
little squad.
Kate, their blacksmith joins them.
Yeah, that's what
Chaucer
I was thinking
joins
about.
Them. And they've won so many tournaments that everyone is so well paid that they can literally roll cruise
Let's
deep.
Let's just have
it's like entourage.
A little squad. Pate
I'm not,
loves
yeah,
to
I'm
fix
with you.
Armor.
Can you imagine if you were such a good knight that you had a singularly talented blacksmith like Pate,
right.
No nonsense, utilitarian, doesn't have any baggage of his own. He's not traveling with anyone. He's got no kids running around to help him or to take his attention away from the job. He can roll with you. That would be cool.
They're having fun. They're winning tourneys. They're taking names. I mean, okay, he can't come with them, but this can't be the last tourney that Dunk enters.
That's the thing. We need more tourney culture in Westeros.
We do.
Because not only is it a good living for hedge knights, but it just gives the commoners and the mid-tier noblemen stuff to do together.
We need a season,
commerce.
Like a football season.
Maybe it's because the War of the Five Kings broke
That's
out.
That's fair, because I feel like sports in general and jousting and
yeah,
all that is a replacement for war,
yeah.
basically.
Oh, well, that too, yeah. If
you
there's
know?
Actual war, it's a little bit less
yeah,
impressive.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You want your real men to be out there fighting on the front lines, not whoever is staying behind,
right.
I guess. But I totally agree. I love the tourney vibe. And we've been saying that this whole story. The vibe of this tourney has been a 10 out of 10. The energy is high. And everyone's just excited to be there, whether it's the people who are competing because they're looking to further advance their own career, basically, or the spectators. In the last chunk of pages that we wrote before, or read before, just the way that Dunk was describing the tournament from inside his cell, and just the way that the vibes were high. Everybody was hyped. This is their sporting event. This is such a good time. And I feel like the culture surrounding what's happening here is such a fun thing. We really don't get that much of. Okay, as the Song of Ice and Fire progresses and the drama becomes
more
intense,
it's obvious what's happening
and
why we're not getting it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
it's still
I
nice.
I love the opportunity.
It sucks that we don't
get it. Yeah, it's fun to have the opportunity to be in this kind of thing that is so deeply steeped in the customs and the lore of this place that we love. But the stakes are high. Obviously, Dunk was going to maybe die
yeah.
for a while.
I bet the crowd was way more excited about that moment then. And it's like, it's part of the reason why someone like Arianne is a bad guy is because he's so bored of how safe everything is.
Sure,
there's something
yeah.
deep within him that he wants to go and break someone's fingers, just mm-hmm. looking for an excuse to be bad. To show that he doesn't care how pretty she is, she's going to break her fingers anyway. And then it turns everything into chaos, and maybe he's more comfortable like
that. Where
does
he get sent off to? The Free Cities?
Yeah.
Let's see what life
Least,
is really like. Yeah. Good luck out there. Hopefully it'll
back.
Harden him.
But being in the Brotherhood without banners would be pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Lady Stoneheart. You know she's reanimated. You know that's Catelyn Stark. Mm-hmm. You see her have to hold her throat together. Uh-huh. And she's judging Golden Hand. Mm-hmm. She's judging Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah.
She's passing judgment.
Yeah.
That's a pretty lit afternoon.
Yeah, it is.
That's kind of exciting.
It is really exciting.
Think about being in Braavos. Just whenever it's not wartime and knowing that there's a big place there where people who can change their faith are being paid in different kinds of ways to run the geopolitical movements of the city and assassinate people behind their backs unwillingly. That's an also exciting thing, too.
It is exciting. I mean, are you trying to say that that's better than tournament life?
I'm trying to say that I understand how it's more lit.
Yeah.
And depending on what kind of personality you have, you might wrap your desires more toward that than you would appreciating the peace that everyone shares together.
Right.
Especially if you haven't lived life on the road like a hedge knight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, everything's going to be okay. It's sort of ingrained in the back of your head. That's probably why Euron turned out like the way he is. It's like, oh, you're bad, Euron. You're a really bad boy. Your father's the king. Oh,
how
sorry, your brother's the king.
How posh has your life been?
Yeah, like, yeah. Your last name's Greyjoy.
You live on...
Greyjoys are the seat of your house.
It's pretty cold where you live. Yeah, and a little miserable, but you're still in a castle.
Yeah, there's several castles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine. Ships, crews. Imagine when you're like, I'm going to go sail a ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a crew.
Yeah.
You have to work your way up. Of course, Euron's going to turn out like that.
Dunk said that. Like, he said pretty much the same exact thing. And not spoiler alert, but I think this is my favorite part of the chapter. When he's on the ground and he's seemingly about to lose. Because Arryn's just completely... wrecking him. And this is page 107 for anybody who has the same copy as I do. Dunk rolls. Oh, so he's pretty much about to die. And Dunk rolled. Where he found the strength, he did not know, but he found it. He rolled into Arryn's legs, threw a steel clawed arm around his thigh, dragged him cursing into the mug, and rolled on top of him. A little bit farther down, Arryn was strong, but Dunk was stronger and larger and heavier as well.
The lunk.
So he starts going to town with a shield. Arryn finally lets go. He could vanquish Sir Duncan the Tall, but not Dunk of Fleabottom. The old man had taught him jousting and swordplay, but this sort of fighting he had learned earlier in shadowy winds and crooked alleys behind the city's wine sinks. So like you're saying, Dunk is a man of the streets. He's been fighting since the moment he was born, basically. And so when it comes to instincts and this scrappy nature...
For sure, but you think of someone like Jaehaerys, or if we just looked at the Targaryen dynasty, there are people like Baelor, for example, that were able to wrap their minds around that concept and decided to train to make up for that.
Definitely.
So there's merit in all regards of it. For combat, it's one thing, but to train your point of view out of being spoiled so you don't end up cutting the tongues out of everyone that's on your ship. It seems like that's a personal choice. And I don't know what makes someone like Arryn different from Baelor. Probably have to look for more context in Fire and Blood and the World of Ice and Fire for what exactly Baelor's coming up was like. Like what made him like that perspective.
It may also be just a matter of who was next in line. If somebody like Baelor knows that he has a real potential of becoming the king, and that's something, a conversation that's been had with him since he was a little kid, versus Arryn's not next in line. There's some people ahead of him before he would ever have the opportunity. And so he can just kind of mess around, you know, and he can not take his duties as seriously because he's never going to be the one, seemingly. That's one guess. I feel like the weight of becoming the king, eventually becoming the king, is going to make you a little bit more serious. Not always. We don't always see that with every Targaryen king or every Robert.
Or everyone that falls in love or everyone that has a child.
Of course.
All these things that are important, these milestone moments making you go, oh, maybe I should stop lying to myself about these things.
Sure, yeah. But I do think that if would lend itself to a little bit more of a serious personality. That's going to separate the two of them.
Like feeling the scale of his responsibility that's upcoming.
Right. Versus I can do whatever I want because I have the name behind me and the shield and the clothes and the power, but I also don't have the same kind of responsibility, seemingly so, even though he does, but.
So his brain's slid out.
Mm-hmm.
I've just wanted to talk to you about that for a while.
Man,
because we liked him so much earlier in the
movie. We liked him so much, and this whole time you knew his head was going to get bashed in like that.
Yeah. So do people sending us owns, too. They were like, I want to cut to that part immediately.
I know. I don't remember reading any of those ones. I think I was able to skip those
ones. Yeah, it's kind of hard to send in an own, say, own to the moment where his brain slid out of the back of his head. They were shrouded.
Yikes. It was so visceral. The imagery of the helm being taken away and just half his head being there.
You need that, though, to juxtapose the sport of running sticks into each other for points.
Mm-hmm.
The sport of war, like a Knight's Tale. You know, they said in this chapter where the barrier that's between the two knights jousting was removed for this. The opening joust between Arion and Dunk. Imagine the normal setup of a joust, but you're actually running full speed into each other, and Thunder's horse crashed into the Targaryen horse
with
full speed.
Real weapon. I mean, Dunk gets that huge spear.
Yeah, and he has to pull it out. It's broken out like 3 feet. Yeah, so basically, just like in a Knight's Tale, when the tip spear crashes into William's shoulder. And he has to pull it out after that joust. Is that the same exact thing? Which is
same
absolutely
energy.
Nuts. You have to keep fighting after that.
Yeah, completely.
Can you believe that we used to? I know we do crazy stuff martially now, militarily now, but for the love of God, riding huge dog rat things into each other full speed with big pokey things, and we're wearing. There's a market for alloy that we like clothes that we wear that can glance it off and block it slightly better.
Life was cheap back
Absolutely
then.
Absolutely
nuts. Life was cheap.
Yeah. But armor was not. That's what's funny.
Yeah, true.
Like, armor is more expensive than life.
Yeah, but it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, no, not unless you're wearing Pate's armor.
Even Pate, he's grumbling.
Yeah, after the fight. I got to fix all this.
Why don't we even bother?
Boy, how cool was that? Right before they went up, that we're getting the who's who of who Dunk's been appreciating from the tourney up until this point. People like the Laughing Storm, people like Sir Humphrey Harding coming to his side and being his seven. And when we podcast before that, you didn't even guess that. You didn't go, oh, I think the Laughing Storm is going to be at his side.
No, I just
so
didn't.
What a surprise. And
I
it was Egg who did
so.
All that.
Shout out Egg. Not Sir Stefan, the rap boy of this chapter. But I guess I don't remember exactly what I said at the end of the third
You assumed that, if I remember correctly, you assumed that Stefan was going to grab noble people to be at his side, and that people
would
want to join.
Yeah, I thought that people would come. Yeah, I thought that people would want to come. I thought that people would want to join the cause, because I do think that Dunk has this silly charisma to him, and I do think that the cause is just. And like, was it the Laughing Tree who said it? And let me read it. But he says,
like, I don't get a chance to do this.
It only comes around once every 100 years. It says, this is so good. It was your squire who came to me. The boy, Aegon, my own lad, tried to chase him off, but he slipped between his legs and turned a flagon of wine over my head. He laughed. There has not been a trial of seven for more than 100 years. Do you know that? I was not about to miss a chance to fight the Kingsguard knights and tweak Prince Maker's nose in the bargain. It makes sense that these guys would want to join in. And I thought that at the end of last chapter. I just didn't realize it was going to be the guys that they would want to join in. I figured that they may have other things to be worried about, like,
or they'd be fighting for the other side,
or they'd be fighting for the other side, or they'd be thinking about their own tourney that I assume is going to continue on, or is this the end? Who knows?
I think this has replaced that in some
man.
Way. This is now the new main.
Yeah,
event.
Okay, so then it makes even more sense that they would join him. But, who's going to miss a chance to fight the Kingsguard knights? I mean, these guys fight for a living, but they can't touch
those guys. And they're
protected
too. They're just as defended as the people they defend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're lofty.
So. It makes sense that people would come to him. Also, I keep calling him the Laughing Tree, but it's the Laughing Storm. That is hilarious. But it was a pleasant surprise. And I just felt like the buildup between gathering the right guys was paced really, really well. I felt the tension.
Yeah, no, like I said, so much momentum.
Yeah.
Like it was at the end of a 600-page book, basically. So much meaning was set up. I guess it helps to know the world so much, too. But really pleasantly taken off guard by it every single time I read it. And this is going to be my own later, but when Raymond is like, I'll fight, and Dunk needs to also ask for another person to join their team, but he also needs to knight Raymond. And Raymond is rewarded beyond his wildest dreams for being such a G that the Laughing Storm himself goes, I'll knight him. In front of it. And he guess who our witnesses are? Everybody at the tournament. And also your asshole cousin. I mean, what the heck?
He deserves it. He absolutely deserves it.
What a puzzle box to set up and then to let loose, you know?
I love how Raymond changes his sigil a little.
To the green apple. He does it. He leans into the thing. Yeah.
I thought that was so sweet and so cool. He's such a real one. The last of the real ones, some might argue. Are we going to see him again or is he gone? He was our boy. And at first, when we first met him, I was thinking, okay, this guy's like kind of annoying. I don't really trust him.
Because he's
saying too much and he's making us stay here in this tent and we don't know him. And he's trying to hang really hard. And then he turns around and does so much for Dunk and really sticks by his side. And so I don't know if we're going to see him again, but he would be a cool person to continue to have a relationship with.
After that, it's almost like how doesn't even matter how good you fight.
You've read all of these, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you'd only read one of them. I guess it's a silly question. No, I know you're not going to spoil it, but so I'm back to speculating on my own. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair.
Aragorn had driven his lance through oak, wool, and steel, 3 feet of splintered ash and sharp iron stuck from his side. Dunk thinks to himself later, he broke my head and I'm dying. I feel like that's the only thing you can write if you're in a sprint of writing and it comes out completely true, like that t-shirt we made. Exactly the same energy. We'll talk about that in the end of the episode. It may be that the gods have a taste for cruel japes, or perhaps there are no gods. Perhaps none of this had any meaning. I'd asked the High Septon, but the last time I went to him, he told me that no man can truly understand the workings of the gods. Perhaps she should try sleeping under a tree. God, are they real or are they not?
I know.
Okay? Dragonflies or dragons? Daeron never slept in a ditch, I'll wager, Dunk said very quietly. And all the beef that Arion ever ate was thick and rare and bloody, like as not. Maekar Targaryen, Prince of Summerhall, regarded Dunk of Fleabottom for a long time, his jaw working silently beneath his silvery beard. Finally, he turned and walked away, never speaking a word. Dunk heard him riding off with his men. When they were gone, there was no sound but the faint thrum of the dragonfly's wings as it skimmed across the water. Well, I guess we're going dragonflies then.
What do you think made him make that decision? Because like we were saying...
Because Dunk's point was so good. You know, it wasn't riddled with him referring... Dunk was not defending himself. He was not trying to be offensive. He was simply calling out the truth in a very plain way. And that really smart dude was like, there's nothing I can say back. Arion would have lashed out. A dumber person with more pride would have lashed out. But there was no lashing out to do. Not only was his point so good, but this is a person who's proven over and over that he's nice to an 8-year-old kid who just so happens to be the son of the guy he's making the point to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically one of your family at that point. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? Throw a mailed fist into his face? It was a good point.
It was a great point. I just, based off of everything that Dunk was daydreaming about leading up to this day and this situation before he thought he was going to die for a while, going to work, like we were saying before, going to live in the home of a great lord was something that he thought about as a good option.
The prize.
But it's the second he has it. I'm just curious as to what it,
dragons.
Yeah, what it was that drew him. Listen, the call to the open road, after seeing all the drama with his family, you don't really want to get yourself tied up into it any more than you have to. They get to sleep in different inns and go wherever they want to go and just do their own thing. Definitely understand the draw of that. But to turn down stability.
I think at least you're opening doors for potentially good conversations or potentially good interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew what he was going to get if he went with the dragons. And the most decent one he knew just died.
True. Very you know? True. Very true. But in that is money and training and a roof.
For what?
Yeah, exactly.
To have a good time?
Especially
well,
for a guy
he thinks he
like,
can get it for free.
Yeah, especially
with
for
the
a, guy like, a guy like Dunk who wants to be
Plus he's young.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that stuff right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Maybe he'll change his mind eventually.
He like goes back to Summer Hall, knocks on the door. Hey, guys.
Right.
Hey.
Right when Egg's about to become king.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think about The Hedge Knight? I know that this was something that you were waiting to read on the podcast for a while. Mm-hmm. We got to it. Mm-hmm. You read it. You finished book one of it. The Hedge Knight is done. What is your, just give me all your thoughts about it in general. You can compare it to the rest of Vassilov, the rest of your podcast is about or whatever, but also just as a fan of reading books that have cool moments in it.
My first thought is I want to reread it again immediately, but read it in one sitting. Because I feel like this book is such an easy digest in a fun way. Let's just sit down and power through the whole thing. This sounds like a fun story to really crash through because the momentum of it is so enthralling. It would be difficult, and it was difficult as we were reading it for the show, to stop at these different points because there is no lull in the story. It just builds and builds and builds. And so I felt like the pacing was really fun. We don't get a lot of instant gratification in A Song of Ice and Fire. There's a lot of work in a good way, in a way that makes a story incredibly rewarding and rich and all-encompassing. And the only way that we could have so much fun with a book like The Hedge Knight is because A Song of Ice and Fire has the world built out and the work built into it. But this story had so much instant, snappy, back and forth, fast pace, gratification throughout the whole thing. And I felt like that was really fun to take this very serious world and pull out some, I keep saying that this is like a light situation. It absolutely is not a light situation because the Hand of the King just died and
his brain slid out the back of his head.
A lot of things are on the line, but it just,
and his brothers wanted to,
I guess maybe the pacing of it just made it feel like a much
less work, I think is what you said, just less work.
Which makes for an interesting experience. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I think that there is no reason why you would need to wait to read this or pause to read this or put it on the shelf for later. You could get through, this book is like 115 pages. You could read it in one sitting easily with just how quick the story moves. And so I really, really, really enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it quite as much as I did. And like I said at the beginning, I had no idea what, I didn't know Egg was a kid, you know? I didn't know what any of this stuff was.
Yeah, you're
was.
Like, he's some maester.
Yeah, I really did.
He's like a poor fellow.
I just didn't picture that at
he's
all.
Got
so.
Creepy opinions about women and he's trying to steal people's money. But no, it turns out to be a cool Targaryen.
A cool Targaryen who shaved his head off so that he could his not be who he was. But yeah. Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great. I thought the characters were rich and rewarding and so fleshed out, and I loved Dunk's whole vibe and the way he looked at the world and the way he interacted with people. He really was a true knight. He is a true knight. He's got that
against his better judgment.
He's got that Gryffindor vibe about him where he's just gonna barrel head first into what he thinks the truth is without really concern for the consequences in his conversations with Maegar, in his dealing with Egg, in what he did with his girly, in entering the tournament at all. This whole thing has just been him, one decision after the other, going off of his gut feeling, the momentum of the situation, and not pausing to think about, how is this going to impact the people around me? Or is this like a calculated smart move? There's none of that. And I find that to be so lovable and so endearing. And I think that if Dunk wasn't such a strong character like that, he carries this story on his shoulders. Yeah. Everybody else,
he'd also be dead if he was less big.
He would be dead. Everybody else is incredible in this story, but I just feel like him being such a strong character as he is, both literally and story-wise.
Yeah. George is Googling Gryffindor. He's like, I accidentally wrote a Gryffindor.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not all of these characters are created equally when it comes to putting them in those boxes, but that's definitely the way you describe Dunk is the way he is. Some of it's because he's silly. Some of it's because he doesn't need to think about those wiggly things. He prioritizes other stuff for whatever reason.
It's worked for him this far, and I'm looking forward to seeing how like you said, to Aang's dad. He doesn't need to know what it's like to be in a castle. If you want to train him up as a true squire and a true knight, let's hit the open road and see some things that you've never seen before. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what that momentum looks like as it carries the two of them into farther off lands and into new situations and into new groups of people and new territories, because I just like his instincts and I hate that he's going to get himself into some bad situations, because of course he is, but we got two books left, two little stories left. So
I definitely think this is really accessible, and because it's in the library of Aswath, some folks might be scared of its accessibility. So hopefully we can continue to try to spread that gospel that it's not that, and then more people can read it. I got a text message from my mom. Shout out to my mom. She had just finished The Hedge Knight like 2 days ago because we were doing this on the podcast. And that's what she said too. And I think a lot of other people feel that way too. Mm-hmm. And I just hope, or would feel that way too. So I hope more people read this book. And I think whenever the news dropped about this being adapted for screen, a lot of softer fans who don't read the books but watch the TV show and still love A Song of Ice and Fire and love the characters and maybe know what happens in these books in A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, but maybe haven't done the work of feeling all the emotions of reading through it, might have felt like, oh, this is another money grab for a successor show that's just pre-written material. But when you read this, it's just, to me, I'm like, well, this would really be cool to be on screen, mm-hmm. because it's a good story and these are really good characters. And if through the 2010s, everything you saw that was a major hit of a movie had this energy, but this has that energy, but it has the punch of, like we were saying before in this conversation, having earned a lot more of the emotional payoff than the size of its story, whether it's because of the mind behind the writing or whether it's because the work that we've all earned from knowing so much about the world around it and the characters. I'm not sure yet, but it's definitely there. You definitely feel a lot more than the work you put into mm-hmm. it. I think that it would succeed pretty well on screen if they adapted it with as much care as they're doing Adi right now.
Especially if you think about how much we loved Arya and the Hound on the screen.
Exactly.
It has,
yeah, with context, that kind of stuff can mm-hmm. really sing.
Mm-hmm. Completely. And this feels like a really drawn-out version of what I think a lot of people wanted from that relationship or would have liked to see from that relationship, because we get this mentor. I mean, I know that it's not exactly the same, but you get the vibes.
I get what you're saying.
I feel
yeah.
like the vibes
Yeah, you've
are,
said it before. I get what you're saying.
So
yeah. I think so, too. And I hope that we are all around long enough to see it happen. I think that when GOT dropped and people became fans a couple seasons in, the idea of it ever ending felt like a fable. And then after it ended, the idea of there being a successor show felt like a fable too, especially when
being a good one.
Not only that, but just happening.
Yeah.
And it being based on Fire and Blood, when we found that out, everyone's like, what? This is a history book. Well, guys, the clock's moving and time's a turning, and they've said it, and based off the success of Hot D and based off of how successful I think the second season's going to be.
And the success of our podcast talking about the book.
I don't think it's not going to happen. I think yeah. it's going to happen. So I think you need to wrap your minds around these characters if you like them. And I think that we're all in for a treat as far as more stuff being made on TV that's made with passion and a soul rather than just royalty checks.
So, Mrs. Duncan the Tall, that means you are invited on the podcast when the casting comes out for Dunk.
It should be cast as Hanzo.
Yeah. You can give us
we'll be
the
like,
full
come on
rundown.
As a guest.
Yeah. Do you think he matches what the man you envision him to be? So, this is your second reread then. Has your opinion?
Three or four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true because you read it
years ago. It was my second time podcasting
you read
The Hedge Knight.
When we were. You were
this
like,
is my last
read
time
Duncan
podcasting
Egg.
The Hedge Knight outside of the TV adaptation,
okay.
by the way.
How does it hit different now or before?
I'm just older, so I feel more of the themes that are taking place, more nostalgic for humanity than I was before. You know, more like Dunk, less like Egg,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Good art is, I think, translated through how smart you are at the time. I think anything is, but I try to pay attention to what things mean to me. And I noticed that when I interact with one thing at a certain time and years later I interact with it, I tend to add more feelings to it, mm-hmm. if it's good. Sometimes I have less if it doesn't hold up, but this is better than the first couple times I read it, mm-hmm. for sure.
I'm going to go back and listen to the old episode and see what
Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the podcast.
I think that's cool, though, having the opportunity to interact with a story. Having the opportunity to interact with a story at different points in your life is a very rewarding experience.
If someone's going to put enough work into making it that like true seeming to their subconscious that I can translate it through mine and it doesn't cringe me out, then mm-hmm. I'll give it another pass. Mm-hmm. People reread stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly rewatch, but yeah.
I do a lot of rereading too. So
rereading is fun. I know maybe it seems like a waste of time, but not to me. All right, enough. Let's do owns for the love of God.
First up, let's go to Instagram with Margot with 3 M's. My own goes to Raymond for absolutely owning his greenness.
And Mrs. Duncan the Tall, own to Dunk knowing his steak temperatures. Hired. Oh, yeah, I forgot. She manages a Texas Roadhouse. It's that easy.
Also from Mrs. Duncan the Tall, what answer does your tree give you? None that I can hear. Foreshadowed Dunk will talk to weirwood trees.
Oh. Mrs. Duncan the Tall again. What will it be, Dunk? Dragons or dragonflies? Foreshadowing summer hall choices. We'll get there.
I'm looking forward to it.
And to the tweets, to x.com, aka formerly known as Twitter.
The Dire Wolf at HMD2121. I may be biased because Dunk and Egg are my favorite George R. R. Martin works, but the dialogue between Dunk and Makar is some of my favorite writing in the series.
From Careless Coy, not an own, but should be read. Can't wait for you guys to get to the end of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms so I can show you the poem that I shared at Ice and Fire Con.
I'm looking forward to a full read of that. I need some production. Boy,
we need a dramatic reading of this. Yeah. Send us a video. We just got to the end of it. Where are you?
Seth says, own to Steely Pate for recognizing the importance of a well-fitting helmet.
From Ghost Chase Killa, own to Makar for being such a badass on the tourney. Feel? Wait, what? No, Baylor, no. You would be cheering for Makar. And then his mace lands too good of a blow. And then yikes.
Karen Jean, me sobbing this time, chanting to no one, Baylor Breakspear, Baylor Breakspear, Baylor Breakspear.
A couple shout outs from Dragon Demands. He says, I don't see how Dunk can win. He has little formal training, LOL.
So true.
Our buddy Chloe at Lies in Arbor Gold from Girls Gone Canada says, yeah, boy. In reaction to this happening at all.
At Longclaw Logs, own to Dunk for telling Maker his first two kids suck and he'd be a better dad than him.
And finally, from at DK City 24, this is not an own, but he sent us a picture of his car that has a Stark Sigil full back glass decal on his Tesla with the license plate that reads no one.
Incredible.
Wait, there's another one. There's two more. No, there's one more. Bonus own from Seth. To this Chad, talking about Raymond Fosway, who started a civil war within his own family at someone else's wedding. Another tale for another time. Thanks.
I'm so looking forward
everybody.
To all of this.
There's a lot of stuff left.
Thanks, everybody, for sending in your owns. I think you and me forgot to do our own owns,
oh.
which we will do now. But I feel like we talked about them throughout the story.
My own goes to Raymond getting knighted and also Egg. Not letting Pate hand Dunk his lance.
Whoa.
Egg wanted to put it into his hand himself.
That
just
was
also
really
the
nice.
Trio of them being the crew that makes the lance go into the hand of the knight. What about you?
I'm going to give my own to the fact that Arian could vanquish Sir Duncan the Tall, but not Dunk a Fleabottom. What a powerful moment turning the tides. So there you have it. That's it for the Hedge Knight. And if you want to send in your owns, you can do so by searching for Game of Owns on Twitter or on Instagram. You can keep sending in your owns for all of the Hedge Knight if you want before we prepare to read the next book.
We're moving on to the Sworn Sword. And I don't think we're stopping. I think we're going right into it unless something weird happens. But I don't think it is. So Sworn Sword should be next. Can we tell everybody about our t-shirts yet?
Yes,
we
please.
We have two brand new t-shirts. This is the first time. What?
One of them is an old t-shirt that we made a while ago. That we found the other night.
This is the first time we're making t-shirts that we're not printing first. So just, you can go online and buy them like most podcasts sell merch. We're just designing them, which means that there's way less overhead for us. You're gonna be seeing some good ones, let me tell you. But we're gonna be doing limited merch drops. Have you ever seen Hypebeast? This is what that is. So get them while you can. Hannah?
Like I said, one of these shirts was one that we designed after the momentum of House of the Dragon.
After we looked at the Hot D merch store, too. we looked at a blanket. We were like, what?
We can do better.
We can do just exactly that, but different.
So if you want to buy a t-shirt, if you want to have a good time, you can head over to our link.
This kind of supports us. I think it more supports
the vibe.
Like, this is like we're using a website called Customized Girl, which is like Teespring, but better. And it probably benefits them more than it does us. We probably make like $5 or $10 off of it. But this is about getting good t-shirts into your hands that you can wear at home. Probably oversized that are really comfortable to sit and read in. So you want to tell them about the designs?
I feel like people should go see the designs for themselves.
I think you probably should, yeah. Go look at
them. So go check it out. Customized Girl.
We'll put the link on our Twitter, and I'll have gameofones.com/merch redirect to that page. We still have our old t-shirts from 2019 at gameofones.com/shirts, and those get mailed out with the prize because they are in my house, and I mail those out myself. And those are on a limited supply as well. And yeah, get them if you want. But we're going to be talking about these, our limited merch drops a lot more coming up because...
It goes to the economy. It benefits everyone and it hurts no one.
Okay.
We won't be gone long. We'll be back very soon with the Sworn Sword.